أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we'll continue with the reading of our book مختصر الشمائل المحمدية أو الشمائل المحمدية، behavior or the character and nature of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's always have it in mind that Shama'il is a fun, is a discipline amongst the scholars of Hadith. And what they study there is how the Prophet looks at himself and how he behaves. Just like they have funun, again like funun magazi. Magazi, they have their own a'imma. Like al-Imam Musa ibn Uqba. They say, if you read his biography, they say imamun fil magazi. That is, he is an imam regarding the battles of the Prophet Muhammad. All his own, he sat down after studying the battles of the Messenger. Who and who fought with him? Where did they fight? When did they fight? How did the fight start? Who was killed first? Who was killed second? Who was killed last? Who was holding what? Who was holding the like that? Who were the cooks? What happened to who? When? How? There is also Imam Muhammad ibn Ishaq. When they talk about him, Muhammad ibn Ishaq, they say he's Mudallis. He does what they refer to as Tablis in Ilm al-Hadith. But he's still Imam fil Madani. Even the one who is Kazzab, Muttafaqun ala Tarkihi, Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Waqib al-Waqidi, they call him Kazzab. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, Kana yab'u al-ahadith. He used to fabricate narrations. Wa yurakkibu lahu al-asanid. And then he will model isnad for it. But even when most of the scholars say what happened to Ibn Waqid al-Waqidi was that he was a scholar and a pious person, but he was just collecting reports without making tamyiz. That is, he was collecting reports without differentiating what is authentic from what is not authentic. Fajara ala lisanihi al-kadhib. So he didn't know, but he was already lying. If you are somebody who just say everything that you hear, you will tell lies not knowing that you are lying. That's why he said alayhi salatu wassalam, kafa lil mar'i kadhiban an yuhaddisa bi kulli ma sami'a. It suffices for a man to say that he's a liar. How? Why? Because it is everything that he hears that he narrates. He would have heard lies too. He is not lying, but he heard a lie and he narrated a lie. That's why he said again alayhi salatu wassalam, man haddatha anni hadithan yura annahu kadhbun wa huwa ahadul kadhibin aw wa huwa ahadul kadhibain. Man haddatha anni hadithan, whoever gives a report and says professing alayhi yura anni annahu kadhbun, but yura annahu kadhbun, there is some tinge of uncertainty about the truity of that statement to be ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad. You are not sure. Yura annahu kadhbun. It is being doubted to be a lie. But you had this who ani Rasul alayhi salam. But this person is saying Prophet said. It's fahuwa. For his doing so, he is ahadul kadhibay, one of the two liars. The first liar is the one who originated, and he will be the second person. So So Nawakid al-Nawakidi was becoming the second liar in the chain of two liars. The first one who started it, and the second person is he who was narrating it without verification, without saying it is sahih, it is da'if. Even at that level of the rejection of the narrations of Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Waqid al-Waqidi, his imam fil majaj. It was said that when he collects all the reports on the Maghazi of the Prophet ﷺ, like Uhud or Badr, they say they stood near one well by name so and so, he will go to that well. So the Prophet stood 10 feet away from the, he will count the feet. They say he stood here that I'm standing. The Prophet was standing here during that time. They say he moved left, he will move left 20 meters. He will count 20 meters and he will stand in all the locations in the Badr. In Umar al-Waqidi, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The same thing in other areas in the science of hadith, like Gharib al-Hadith. We've always talked about Gharib al-Hadith. Strange words. Yeah, it has its own a'imma. Like al-Imam Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam, Shaykh Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Al-Imam Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam was a very learned person in the science of hadith. Imam Siqat and Fasun. And he was used to teaching little children. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As learned as he was, rahmatullah, he would only teach little children. He was the teacher to people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But he left all the people there, say, hey, let me teaching alifun, ba'un, ta'un. There is great benefit in it. Because any person whom you teach alifun, ba'un, ta'un, ta'un, whatever he builds upon it, he's building it upon your own alifun, ba'un, ta'un, ta'un. So you have reward. He was teaching them. He is Imam in Gharib al-Hadith. Many of them, Ibrahim al-Harbi, al-Imam ibn Asir, and Nihayatu fi Gharib al-Hadith, and others. And very recently, Abu Abdullah Abdus Salam al-Lush, who did Zaylu Nihaya. Al-Imam ibn Asir left some things undone. Kam taraka al-awwaluna lil-akhiri. What? How many things did those who go past? They said, well, those who come after us, we do that one. And that was how it happened. Ibn Asir lived around the 7th century of Islam. But Abdus Salam al-Lush, he was just one of the students of Sheikh al-Albani. So he did a Zayl, that is, how can we describe Zayl? Itmam, Ikmal. Like, some things that should have been in it, that are not in it. They call it Zaylu al-Nihaya to see the reason of it. If you see it, it's a whole book on its own. So he specializes in that. And then he did a very nice work, his Tahqiq on Mustadrak Hakim in 6 volumes. Abu Abdullah Abdus Salam al-Lush. Very good in Arabic grammar. If you read his work, you know who he is. So all the science of hadith itself also has branches. And from its branches is what Ash-Shama'il, describing the person of the Prophet Muhammad in terms of his look and his character. So Shama'il is the character and the look of the Prophet Muhammad. So from that is everything that is connected to his person. So in the last class we were talking about how he wears his rings. So today, inshallah, عليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. We'll be talking about باب ما جاء في صفة سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. باب ما جاء في صفة سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The chapter about what has been reported, what has come about the prophet's safe, the prophet's sword. Yes, our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a man who describes his physical look, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was broad chested, he is thick bones, he is looking heavy like a man, and he moves like a man, as if the boat sailing on the sea. That's how he is, alayhi salatu wasalam. So from what such people will have is the power to really face an enemy in a battle. So the prophet was really a man, alayhi salatu wasalam. So our own prophet fought wars, alayhi salatu wasalam. He fought wars. He was the one leading the people that Allah is saying, Jahidil kuffara wal munafiqin. So he was even telling, فَدَرْبَ الرِّقَامِ, cut heads. So if you say Jahid means tabligh, because Jamaat tabligh now, they interpret all these verses of jihad, they say things go out. I say, the one who said cut heads, what does it mean? It says, فَدَرْبَ الرِّقَامِ, فَإِذَا لَكِيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَدَرْبَ الرِّقَامِ. When you meet kuffar, cut their heads. It means go to Igadi 40 days. Is another way of implicitly denying jihad. So now when he described his self, he'll be asking you, if you say the jihad is to be calling people alone, what about that sword? What was he doing with the sword? Like the issue of the non-Muslims, when they said in their book that Jesus told his disciples to buy swords. They said, no, it's not to fight. So you say, okay, when Peter, was it Peter that cut the ear of a soldier amongst the Romans? What did he use to cut the ear? It was a spoon. Because they used sword to eat food. And they cut heads with spoons. Bah! They eat with sword and cut with spoons. Our own messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, was a mujahid, biman al-kalima. He was a fighter, a living fighter. He was a fighter who was injured and is still struggling to fight. Alayhi salatu wasalam. When they shout that Allah and Uzza will reign supreme, he will tell them, don't keep quiet, shout to Allah reign supreme. While he's injured. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he had a sword, he had a weapon with which he fought. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's from his shamayil that we describe his weapon and how it was. This hadith is reported by one of those who was very close to him, Imam al-Sahabi Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. For those of us who are using the Mukhtasar, it will be hadith 85. And for those of us who are with the Mutawwal, it will be hadith 101. Cool? Yes. It says, an anasin qala kana qabi'atu sayfi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam min sibbatin. Kana qabi'atu sayfi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam min sibba. It says that kana qabi'atu sayfi rasulillah, the hilt of the prophet's sword, hilt, H-I-L-T, the hilt of the prophet's sword, that is the handle of the sword, or is what else do you call it? Handhold. They call it handhold, they call it hilt. You hold, they are all the same thing. Where you hold in a sword. You know the sword has two basic aspects. It has its blade and its hold. Like knives, the blade and its hold. But the difference with the sword is one, in length, the swords are lengthier. And secondly, swords have, they are du haddain, the two sides cut. This side can cut, this side too can cut. But they make swords too that only a side can cut, but it's also lengthy. So, but swords are clearly visibly, you know, longer than knives. So you have the blade and the hold. That hold is referred to as what? Called the hold, the hilt, where you grab. So this hilt, you design it. People design it, people make it. Yes, he is holding it, but there's something again that if he loses grip, that thing will hit his hand, and by it, hitting his hand, he could easily grab it again. Like a hold. It can be encircled. It could be straight. I mean the hold. I'm describing the hilt now. It could just be straight, and it could have, curves. It, like a guide, where if you lose grip from the point of grip itself, your hand could still be around the sword, so you could with that regain grasp of the hold of the hilt. So that hilt is referred to as what? Qabi'a. And that Qabi'a of the faith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hilt of the sword of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, means shibbatin, is from what? Silver. It's from silver. The sword with which he fights, the whole is made from silver. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ulama say this is evidence that your equipment of war, you can have some of them silver coated. This hadith is evidence that it is permissible to do that. Or they could be of silver. Today we use guns most, because people still have swords. So you see a man's sword having hilt from silver, don't say it is israf. Usually many things people do, we say it is israf. Many things easily classify people and say it is israf, but it is not. Many things companions did it, where by this issue of saying people are doing israf, you will say they are musrifun, and if you say they are musrifun, you will declare that it is from iman to hate you. The one who mentions the companions negatively, it is from iman to hate him. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had two rides that he travels with when he's traveling. He has a horse and a donkey, or a camel and a donkey. When he rides one, the hadith is in Adab al-Mufrad of Imam Bukhari. On the same journey, he rides one, he comes down, he comes on another one. He rides one, he comes down, he comes on the next one. And that's why in that hadith where he saw one of the children of the friends of Umar radiallahu anhu. The hadith is in Adab al-Mufrad of Imam Bukhari. He gave him one of it. I have two on this journey. Take one. The people were surprised. They were looking at him because they were dear to him. Yet he still gave it in sadaqah. It showed that, yes, they used those things just like using. They were not most paramount in their hearts. They could give it out to do sadaqah anytime. That is how it should be with us too. You should see them as alert, things of use. Anytime you can give it out, you can take, you can give it out. And that was why he was too, alayhi salatu wasalam. So I'm sure today people will say, oh, Mala, look at your sword, it has silver. And some of us are hungry. Are you sure Allah will not ask you? How will Allah ask him about you, how you ate? He will ask you, what are you doing that you can't provide food for yourself first? You're always thinking that Allah will ask somebody else about you. Lahama kasabatu alayha maskasabatu. So it's not from israf, but it is from power at that time. And even now. So that is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. The one that follows it is the hadith of the younger brother, I think so. That's what my thinking goes on now, of Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri. His name is Sa'id ibn Abi Hassan. Sa'id ibn Abi Hassan al-Basri, the brother of Al-Imam al-Hassan al-Basri. He's also Imam Thiqat al-Fathim. But his brother al-Hassan al-Basri is more well known than he is. He said, كانت قضية سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من فضة. كانت قضية سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من فضة. Like the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. These two hadith, the first one, some of the scholars have said that the hadith is weak. Like Imam Abu Dawud al-Sijistani mentioned that the hadith is weak. But if you study the hadith properly, you see that what is most correct is to say that the hadith is authentic, and it is authentic. So that first one being authentic, this second one is a mursal, because Sa'id ibn Abi al-Hasan is a tabi'i. وهو يذكر هذا عمن عن الرسول مرفوع يعني يذكره عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is the surah of Irsal. When a tabi'i says, prophet says something, you know tabi'i didn't mean prophet. So when a tabi'i says prophet says, or prophet did, or prophet, without saying he heard from a companion, it is referred to as hadithun mursal. And it's one of the ways of inqita, break in the chain of narration. So this hadith is mursal. And إِذَا صَحَّ الْمُرْسَلِ إِلَى مُرْسِلِهِ. This hadith from mursal is authentic up to the person who did irsal. So it is mursalun sahih, but it is what? Da'if. Hukma. It is a hadith that is mursal. A tabi'i says about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is sahih up to him, but it is weak as a general ruling. So this kind of a hadith can be used to strengthen another kind of it. If you have one mursal in sahih, you say it is da'if hadith. You have another mursal in sahih, it's also da'if. They can make taqwiya if they are not known to have come from the same source. They have come from two different sources. They can combine to form an authentic hadith. And if you see this level, the wording of this hadith and the wording of the last hadith of Anas ibn Malik, it follows one another. Cool? So the issue is that Al-Imam al-Tirmizi reported the two hadiths from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Bashar. That is where it connects. To Tirmidhi. So they come from Muhammad ibn Bashar. So Muhammad ibn Bashar, Imam Thiqah. Cool? So this hadith, it is correct to say that it is authentic. Even if they say the first one is da'if, that da'if and this mursal in sahih makes the two of them to be what? Alal aqal hasan. So we say regarding it what we said about explaining the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, that كان قضيعة سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ماذا؟ من فضة. The hilt of the Prophet's sword is made from silver. The next hadith is the hadith number 103 from the rest of us. Is it 103? And for those of us with Mukhtasar, it is hadith 87. Cool? It says, An Hudin wa huwa ibn Abdullah ibn Sa'ad an jaddihi qala dakhala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Makkata yawm al-fath wa ala sayfihi zahabun wa fiddatun qala talibun فسألته عن الفضة فقال كانت قضيعة السيف في البطن دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وعلى سيفه ذهب وفضة قال طالب فسألته عن الفضة فقال كانت قضيعة السيف في البطن. Hud and his name is Abdullah ibn Sa'd, Hud ibn Abdullah ibn Sa'd, and Jaddihi. He is reporting from his grandfather, who is a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that his grandfather said that dakhala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Makkah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived Makkah, or entered Makkah. Arrived and entered means the same thing in this context, because arrived Makkah meant that he was traveling from Makkah. In fact, arrived, in my opinion, is a better word to use. Entered, he could have just been at the outskirts. But Yom Fatih was coming from Medina. You say he arrived Kadina. He had also entered Kadina. And that word shows you that he was traveling from other than Kadina into Kadina. You say he entered Kadina. You could mean that he came into Kaduna and quickly went out too. If you say arrived, you are talking about a destination that was intended from the very beginning. I would be more comfortable with arrived. Headmaster, what do you think? Boko. Don't mind Boko. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah. Cool? Arrived Makkah. I choose arrived. On the day of Fath, Yawm al-Fath, on the day of Fath Makkah. You know Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam victory over Makkah. That's why it's called Fath Makkah. Without fighting any war. After he surrendered in Hudaybiyah. He wanted to come in Hudaybiyah to make, in the days of Hudaybiyah, to make Umrah. He said, no, you can't make Umrah. You sent people to stop him on the way. It's a very lengthy hadith by Imam al-Hafiz al-Zuhri in Bukhari and Muslim. Lengthy hadith, very, very interesting. Somebody used that hadith in a book he referred to as, in Arabic, I'm translating to English, Secrets of Successful Dialogue, Lessons from the Life of the Messenger. Dialogue. How to dialogue with somebody. They were sending emissaries and the Prophet was dialoguing with them. They would send one, he would dialogue, that one would go back and say, that man, you better leave him. They would send another one, like that. But Allah said he should go back and he was going back. So some of the companions were not pleased with that. You know the story of Hudaybiyah, cool? Then subsequently Allah allowed him in the following year to come into Makkah. So that entrance into Makkah was a victory. And it was a victory of Taslim, the Awamirillah wa Nawahihi. It's a victory for submission to Allah's orders and his prohibitions. He submitted. That was why when Umar radiallahu anhu was asking the Prophet Alasna ala al-khair ala al-haq, he went to the Prophet and said, why are we accepting this kind of condition? That if a Muslim accepts Islam in Makkah and runs away to Medina, the Muslims will take him back. Take. Do you understand? And if a non-Muslim does that, the Muslim will still return him to non-Muslims. Why are you accepting this kind of condition? And while they were discussing, one of the people who was sent to discuss with the Prophet, his son had accepted Islam, had been punished and been beaten. He ran away. He met them in Hudaybiyah. The person said, oh, this is the first one you return to me. This is my son that has run away. The Prophet said, leave him for me. He said, no, I'm not leaving for you. I'll take him. If you don't want, then no more treaty, no more pact, peace pact. Even say, I will not leave him. It's okay, take. The son was saying, so messenger of Allah, you release me to non-Muslims? So yes, we release you to them. How is that? So yes, we release you to them. So when Umar radiallahu anhu was asking that, didn't Allah say he's your helper and is Allah not your helper? Say yes, who are nasiri? Wala uqsi. He's my helper and I will not disobey him. Meaning that even when you think that look, if I don't do this thing, something will happen. But Allah's injunction is showing opposite. You must still follow the injunction. Look at what Allah did at the end of the day. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. Don't worry. That's your vision. I will bring it to reality. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ. Look at what he said. لَا مُتَوْكِيد. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ نُنُ تَوْكِيدَ السَّكِيلَ. Inshallah. By my permission. Not inshallah, whether I want. No. Because he has already brought Tawqid here. So he's saying that I have ordered it, that it will happen like that. Aminin. In peace. No war. Because they submitted to Allah's injunction. That's why I say, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That's how Allah is. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. So the following year they came peacefully. خَلِّكِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Some of you will shave your head completely. Is it shaving the hairs or shaving the head? Some of you will shave your head. There's nothing like shaving the hair. You shave your head. وَمُحَلِّكِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ. Some of you will shave your head. وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Some of you will go on low cuts. لَا تَخَافُونَ. You are not afraid of anything or anybody. And they came. So it was fatih for the Prophet Muhammad and for the Ummah of Islam. The whole of fatih itself requires a whole dars. I mean dars is study, studying fatih itself. From that, in fact, the idea itself requires a whole book, I think. I'm sure somebody should be able to write 150 pages on Hudaybiyah, the fawaid of Hudaybiyah. These are some of the things that is missing in the understanding of our Sunnah today by many of the Muslims. How to move around in the issues of Manhajiyah. Because they don't understand the periods of weakness and the periods of strength. But that treaty itself is a show that, look, sometimes you are strong to do what you want. Sometimes you want to do what you want. You have you even have strength, but you still have some hiccups here and there. You still can't go ahead. So why do we like to go ahead by all means and at all costs? In many matters of our lives, you want to marry, the father says no, leave the girl, go and look for another one. Why must it be by all costs and at all means? You must. Must it be like that? The tire is getting deflated. One of the brothers has a jeep here that the tire is getting deflated. If you go, you may come back and miss the hadith. The companion did that, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet was telling me about the day of judgment. What will happen from his time till the last day? He tied his camel and came into the Masjid and sat and was listening, memorizing it to him. So they said, "Ah, who has one camel? Oh, the camel is running." He went out. Before he came back, the Prophet finished the statement. He said, "Ya later, he interrupted to who? I wish I had left it to go." Because the Prophet never repeated it again. So we should not like to do something by all means and at all costs. More so if it brings more dharar, more evil, more. So daqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Makkah yawm al-fath. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam entered Makkah or arrived Makkah on the day of fath. Wa ala sayfihi, and his sword had zahabun wa fiddatun. Designs of gold and silver, had made of gold and silver. This report is weak. Don't bother yourself too much. The hadith is weak. Qala Talib, this Talib, his name is Talib ibn Hujair al-Basri, is the one who said this. He said, فَسَأَلْتُهُ, So he asked the one who reported the hadith to him. Who reported the hadith to Talib? Hud. So he asked Hud ibn Abdullah ibn Sa'd. He said, I asked Hud, Anil Fiddo, what about the silver? Tell me about it. فَقَالَ كَانَتْ قَدِيعَةُ السَّيْفِ فِدَّةً. So the hood was of silver. That is, the hilt was of silver. But don't forget that we said that this hadith is weak. So in the Sahih is sufficient from the Da'if. You understand what I mean? We have sufficient information in that hadith that is weak, so weak, that is authentic. So we don't need this one that is weak. So just go ahead, so it does not take our time. The last hadith in this Bab is the hadith of Muhammad ibn Sirin. Muhammad ibn Sirin, one of the most eminent amongst the Tabi'un, Muhammad ibn Sirin. He has one comment that is very popular for many, but I remember two now quickly. Who can remind us one? Muhammad ibn Sirin. Muhammad ibn Sirin, al-isnadi min ad-din, wa lawla al-isnadi laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. The isnad is part of our own religion, that is chain of narration. Wa lawla al-isnad, were it not for that, every person will say whatever he wanted. But if you say anything, I'll say please, which, where is that statement? There is nothing to stand to. It's not in any religion. So when Oyakhilomi did what he did, Fa'ala fa'ilahu, and ran away to South Africa, nobody to ask him what he did. You know Oyakhilomi? He ran away to South Africa. It has not ended. One day he will come here and they will grab him. Yes, you see, will grab him. He's one of the richest people in the world, amongst the pastors. Yes. There's a work somebody did recently on Nigerian pastors. They rank among the richest people in the world. Yes, some of them are worth billions of dollars. The richest one is Oyedepo. He forgot the kisses of Salman Rushdie, of the second Christian monk that he meant, who would collect the property of the people and hide it for himself. Yaquluna amwal an-nas. That's what Allah said about them. That those monks and rabbis, they eat the wealth of their people. Zulman, go. Many of them do that. Many of them, they eat the wealth of people. They take their wealth. They are eating fire in their stomach. So yaslawna sa'ira. So in our own religion, we'll ask, where is it from? Where is the hadith? Where is ayah? Where is tafsir? Please, which book is it? Please, which? We are so lucky. Alhamdulillah. So Muhammad ibn Sirin said, there are other things about him, rahimahullah, but because of time, there are five of them. Ali Sirin. From them is Karima bint Sirin, Hafsa bint Sirin, Sayyidatu Tabi'in, Anas ibn Sirin. He's mentioned Muhammad. There is, I think, Munzir ibn Sirin. About six of them. Their father brought them to learn in Hijaz. So he was staying with Anas ibn Malik. Muhammad ibn Sirin was going with him everywhere. Many of them. So they have Karima, they have Hafsa, they have Anas, Muhammad, it's the remaining one, I'm not remembering his name. Five of them, Al-Sirin. He said, so not to say, see, this hadith is weak. So we just read it, translate and proceed, inshallah. He says, an Ibn Sirin qala, so not to say, see, ala sayfi samurata ابن جندب وزعم سمرة أنه صنع سيفه على سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكان حنفيا. عن ابن سيرين قال صنعت سيفي على سيف سمرة ابن جندب، وزعم سمرة أنه صنع سيفه على سيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وكان حنفيا. He said, I made, Ibn Sirin said, or Ibn Sirin is reported to have said, that I made my sword to look like that of the sword of Samurai bin Jindab. If you want to copy, copy good people. If you want to copy anything, copy good people. So he is copying Samurai, according to this report, Ibn Jindab, a companion of the Prophet Muhammad. Don't forget, we have some tafasulat in the last ahadith we read, ko. In the issues of Takhattum Ko. So look at how they copy good people. You don't copy idiots. I remember when I was in university, there's a brother who wears exactly the cap of Awo and his goggles. Muslim. Awolowo. Obatemi Awolowo. That's kafir. He died as a kafir. Sorry for him. He regrets forever. Forever he will regret. Ubashiruhu bi jahannam. It's from the Sunnah. If you see the cause of a kafir being taken away, tell it. I give you glad tidings of fire. I tell you, you are going to meet fire. They don't have anything to meet except fire. So that is the model of some people who call themselves Muslims. Your own model is Awo. He's wearing camp. If you see him, you think it's Awo's younger brother or son. Their own models are Awo. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهِ لَكِنْهُمْ لَا يَرْجُونَ اللَّهِ فَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ How can they? They not really look at Allah and His Messenger on the day of Qiyamah when they were taking those decisions. It was not a decision based on what Allah and His Messenger wanted. It was a decision of Hawa. So copy good people. If you are copying, copy good people. There's an Arab adage around that. If you copy, copy good people. If you copy bad people, your own will be worse. If you are copying something bad, don't you know you get a worse result? Teachers, you know that, cool? A child or a student copies somebody, the work will be worse than... because they don't write E there, you write I here. Thinking that, I think it is E. You may not have seen it well. So if you copy, copy good people. If their own is better, your own will be good. If their own is best, your own will be at least better. If you don't now do better, at least your own will be good. But if you copy bad people, your own will be worse. Because you make more mistakes than they are. May Allah preserve us from that. I made my sword to be like the sword of Samurai bin Jindab. Jindab. There is Jindab, there is Jindab. I've seen the two. So I use the two too. I've not been able to ascertain which is correct or whether the two is correct. But I read Jindab. Wazama Samurai too. And Samurai used to say that Annahu, he صَنَعَ سَيْفَهُ عَلَىٰ سَيْفِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰ He made his sword to be like the sword of the Prophet. Look at companions. We talked about the ring, ko? They made rings of gold because the Prophet made rings of gold initially, ko? When he removed it and threw it away, they removed it and threw it away too. You remember the hadith of Jibreel? He wore his shoe and was praying. Jibreel came to tell him, remove your shoe because there is najas on it. He removed it. They also removed their shoe too. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ Sword. You make it like his own. وَكَانَ حَنَفِيًا And his sword is Hanafi. How is that? The Prophet's sword was Hanafi. What does it mean? It is a sword made from Banu Hanifa. That is the tribe of Al-Musaylimat al-Kazzab. Musaylimah al-Kazzab is from the tribe of Banu Hanifa in, I think, Yemen. So they make swords, and they are known for making good swords. So they ascribe that sword to that tribe, that the sword is Hanafiyan, that is from the time, the kinds of swords that is done by Banu Hanifa. I think that is clear. But don't worry yourself, the hadith is daif. The next bab. Babu ma ja'a fi sifati dir'i Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The chapter about what is reported concerning the dir' of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The dir' is coat of mail or the armor. If you watch, if you've seen those cowboys, they wear, in the past, in the ancient past, they wear coats, they wear clothes like iron when they go to wars. That is called dir'. It used to be big, as big, the size is a function of the person wearing it. If the person is really rich and stupendous, I mean, have some wealth to make for himself what is big, he makes it big. Yeah, it's long ones, so that when they throw spears or arrows or cut them with swords, it does not reach them. You just hear cow, the sound of a metal hitting another metal. So that's called dir'. The Prophet used to wear dir'. He didn't say, oh, I have tawakkul, so me, I'm Prophet, nobody will touch me. He will also protect himself, alayhi salam. Kul innama ana basharun mislukum. I'm a man like you. So if you wear dir'u, what says Prophet should not wear dir'u? And first of all, today people will say, oh, you too, you wear dir'u. Start came out, you don't wear dir'u. The other day I was in a car, I was crossing the road here driving. A long vehicle was coming from afar. So I was running to the man in front of me to move so that I can move up the road from the oncoming lorry. So some of the men were like, ah, Ustaz, come here now, Soro, Mutwa. I said, look at this, Ustaz have four lives. She is there, Soro, Mutwa. She, Masuma Ghana, there, Soro, Mutwa. Ustaz, here now, Soro, Mutwa. I call him, Bum, Bum, Chi. If I had died that day, I wouldn't do this class today. I said, come on, move ahead. So I said, ah, Ustaz, I said, come on, move ahead. So he moved. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took precautions too, alayhi salatu wasalam, where it was necessary and appropriate. So Ali Zubair ibn Awwam, Zubair ibn Awwam reported this hadith. Ahadul Mubashara bil Jannah. رضي الله عنه زبير بن العوام بن خويلد. What does that tell you? He's connected to Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija is his aunt. Awam, the father of Zubair, is the brother of Khadija رضي الله عنه. زبير بن العوام is a nephew to Khadija, and Khadija is his paternal aunt. And his mother is Safiya bint Abi Talib. How is that? Zubair ibn Awwam. So he's connected to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sharif, very honorable. So he's from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet loves him so much. Zubair is the father of Abdullah ibn Zubair. And he's the husband of Afna bint Abi Bakr. How is that? Radiallahu anhu. It's from amongst those the Prophet mentioned he'll be in Al-Jannah. He said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali ibn Abi Talib fil Jannah, Zubayr ibn Awwam fil Jannah, Talha ibn Ubaydillah fil Jannah. He mentioned the 10 of them. The hadith is authentic. Is also in that hadith of Hira, Mount Hira, where it had a gar, a cave, where the Prophet used to stay before Jibreel came to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Mecca. I've been there before. So that they were on it and the mountain was shaking. When I got there, I was remembering this hadith. If this mountain shake, how will it be then? The Prophet said, Ihda ya Hira, come down, O Hira. Fa inna alayka nabiyyun aw siddiqun aw shahidun. Nobody is on you except a Nabi, and he is a Nabi, or a Siddiq, or Abu Bakr Siddiq, or Shaheed. On that day there were on it Umar bin Abi Talib, there was Uthman bin Affan, there was Ali bin Abi Talib, there was Zubair bin Awam, there was Ubaidullah, Talha bin Ubaidullah. Ihda ya Hira, fa inna alayka nabiyyun, or Siddiqun, or Shaheedun. This evidence is that, this hadith is evident that Zubair ibn Awam is what? Shaheed. There's also a hadith, very interesting hadith. And I wrote it. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, man sarrahu an yanzura ila shaheedin yamshi ala wajhi al-ard fal yanzur ila. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever likes, whoever desires, whoever gets delight from looking at a shaheed walking on the surface of the earth. Don't mind people of Ikhwan saying that Hassan al-Banna is shaheed. Who told them that Hassan is shaheed? Hassan al-Banna. Shaheed Hassan al-Banna. Who told you that? Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabili. Don't tell us that somebody is shaheed without nafs. You only know a shaheed with a nafs. Sheikh Jafar Mahmoud, rahmahullah, from the most learned people I've ever seen before. Yes, but don't say it's a shaheed. Don't go to sin. Don't go to extremes regarding these things. Sheikh Jafar Mahmoud, mashallah, alim, kabir, sha'an, and all that. But don't say it's a shaheed, so that you're not sinning. Imam Bukhari mentioned it in Sahih Bukhari. Yeah, don't say somebody is shaheed until there's a hadith that says so and so is shaheed. So the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam about Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu. So he said to us about Zubair ibn Awam. So they are reading the hadith of a shaheed talking about a shaheed. Zubair ibn Awam talking about Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu anhum. Fa'an Zubair ibn Awam. This hadith is the hadith of Zubair now. It is reported from him by who? Abdullah ibn Zubair. From your own copy is this hadith number 105. Cool? But our own copy is hadith 89, Mukhtasar al-Shama'il. Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu anhu said, Kana ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yawma uhudin dir'an. Nobody is correcting me. Dir'an. What did you read in your own copy? Sayyid Imran. He didn't say Dir'at. Dir'an. Sayyid Imran. This is Sayyid Imran too that I have. It said Dir'at. What year is that? Look at the back of your copy. This is 2001, 1422, Sayyid Imran. When is yours? Publication date? 2005. So they've corrected it, code? That is how authorship is. You make mistake here, you correct it in your next edition. You make mistake here, you correct it. Some of the mistakes are intellectual, and because you didn't know some things, you came to know it later, so you change it. Some of the mistakes are typographic. You came to find out, you change it in such a direction. But here that I have, it says there are. It says, كان على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوم أحد درعان فنهض إلى الصخرة فلم يستطع فأقعد الطلحة تحته وصعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حتى استوى على الصخرة قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول أوجب طلحة كان على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوم أحد درعان فنهض إلى الصخرة فلم يتطش فأقعد الطلحة تحته وصعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حتى استوى على الصخرة. قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول أوجب طلحة. زبير بن عوام رضي الله عنه said كان على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تفضل صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم on the day of Uhud he had dir'an عليه الصلاة والسلام he had two dir the Prophet was wearing two coats of mail two armors you wore one you wore another one on top so if everybody is wearing one Ustaz wear two. Don't say why is he wearing two. Ustaz, they are the Iba. The Prophet wore two. It's messenger of Allah. Rasul Rabbil Alameen. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet he wore two. Two coats of mail to protect himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَنَهَبَ إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ So he was attempting to climb upon a bead of rock. You know he was wounded and fell on that day. The Prophet ﷺ got seriously wounded on the day of Uhud. We know the antecedents to all of that for Uhud. Go. He told some of the Muslims to stay in the place, and when they saw that the war was getting in favor of the Muslims, they left the place, and then the enemies came from behind and attacked the Muslims. Many of the Muslims got killed, many got injured, and. From those who got injured was the messenger himself. So he fell on the ground. فَنَهَدَ إِلَى الصَّخْرَ فَلَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ He attempted to climb the boulder, but he could not. One of the scholars said it is because of the weight of the dira itself. Some say it was because he was extremely weak, combined with the weight of the dira. Somebody gave many reasons. Allahu alam. بِالصَّحِيْحِ مِنْهَا But he was not able to climb the rock. فَأَقْعَدَ طَلْحَةَ تَحْتَهُ Talha sat down below him, say, climb me. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, climb me. Wasaida Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta stawa ala sakra. Then the Prophet climbed him to climb the rock until he got settled. Because the Muslims, the Kufar, were shouting that the Prophet had died. So the Prophet had to show him, said that, look, I'm not dead. They were shouting that it's down to Allah. The Prophet told them, you shout that Allah is Rabbul Ibad. This is evidence that there are some things that are not in themselves religion, or that may not in themselves be religion, but we must do it at those times to show the izzah of our religion. Some things in themselves may not be religion, but we have to do them in some instances to show the izzah of our religion. Like in Hudaybiyah, when Prophet passed, the companions took his spit and rubbed on their body. So the kuffar were wondering, this one? When he passed, that was one of the reports that one of them was giving back in Makkah. Look, if he passed, they collected it and rubbed it on their body. When was this Safwan who was talking to the Prophet Sallallahu and was touching his beard, Mughira ibn Shu'bah was using his heels to hit his hands off. Don't touch the Prophet's beard. He was talking and touching the Prophet's beard like this. Mughira ibn Shu'bah was standing right behind the Prophet Sallallahu. He used the sword he was holding, the heat. He hit the hand of Safwan. Don't touch the Prophet's beard. Ordinarily, that may not have caused any problem. Of course, there's a dialogue. And Arabs like it. When they are talking to you, they hold your beard. You've not seen it before. When they talk to you, yes, they grab your beard. They hold your beard like, you know, making you feel comfortable. But when he was doing it, some scholars say because he was doing it because he wants to show arrogance. Mughira used the hilt of his own sword to hit his hands. Don't do that again. It's like taking the boot of a gun to hit somebody's hand. That was how it was then. So they did that. So when he went there, said, look, I have never seen any man. Look, I have visited kings and emperors. I've never seen a man so beloved and so followed by his people like the people of Muhammad. What happened? Izzah. 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 When Munafiqun said, لئن رجعنا الى المدينه لا يخرجن الاعز منها الاعز. الله said ولله العزه ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. No, the izzah belongs to Allah and His Messenger and believers. When they were coming for Hajj al-Wida, some of the Kufa were saying that hungry has captured them in Medina. Here they went to their house, fully hungry. You see them, look at them, how they are looking. The Prophet told the companions, make Ittiba. This is from where Ittiba started. If you make Tawaf al-Qudum in Hajj, that is Hajj al-Tamattu, you put your ihram below your armpit and you bring the ihram above the second, the left armpit, the right shoulder will be out. And you know what? You make rumble. The first three rounds you make round the Kaaba, you make rumble. So when the companions did that, you know, a man, if he shows you his shoulder alongside his upper arm, you see some flesh. Combine that with the fact that he's jogging, will you think that he's hungry? Even if you are hungry, the person looking at you will feel that. Think twice. So then it became deen for us to practice. So some of these things, our deen itself is not a deen of Ravila. No, Izzah. So that's why you don't do something that brings insult and embarrassment to you. You take care of your personality, your muru'ah. You don't do something that brings insult to you on the road. So everything you want to do, don't forget the izzah of your deen. Don't, more so these days, the izzah of your sunnah. Because you are the one they want to abuse. So don't forget the izzah of your sunnah. Yesterday, between around St. Kunamina, is that Sinamina, St. Gerard area, there was serious police takeoff yesterday. Serious, around there. So one of the police, when I got past him, he was telling the other man that, check this one. I was in the car. So when I got to say stop, I stopped. He said, come down, I came down. He said, open the boot. You know, when you look at these cars, there is inside of it where you can connect from inside into the boot. There is a case. Once you open it, you may not need to open your boot all the time. Your trunk, I mean. All the time. You just open it from there. He thought maybe there's a bomb there. I said, subhanAllah. He was like, okay, what is that? I said, touch it. He said, what is that? He was asking me. I said, touch it. He said, no, please open it, let me see. I laughed. So I opened from inside the back seat. I just opened one hand. Fortunately, it was not locked. Because if it was locked, I had to switch off my engine and then use the key to open it. So I just opened it, it got opened. And he said, okay, Nado. I said, Nado. So, but the rest of him in front of him, we are saying, Ustaz, Bismillah. So when you do something, don't forget the izzah of your deen. Some people brought us this insult. Before it was, not only in Nigeria, it's all over the world. The ustaz, they are the one they check most. You don't know at security checkpoints. All over the world, in airports that I have been to. They check you more than any. In Egypt, I was delayed for over 45 minutes. They took my passport and I said, what's happened? You see my name on one list. You never see my name there, it's Nairobi. They took it away. I had to go and start asking, what happened to my passport? If you want me to go back to Nigeria, this flight, I can go back. Give me my passport. They came and started saying, we are sorry to take. So as we look, they think, first, we are evil people. Some people brought those embarrassments and are still bringing. So we should not forget our izzah. Before, when they see you, they say, somebody is stealing, so it cannot be you. Somebody is doing evil, it cannot be you. But now, you are the fourth culprit. Why? Even when most of them, yes, are in the wrong places, they just deliberately accuse Muslims of what they have not done. Yes, many of the cases. But if they accuse us of what we have not done, why do we like to say we have done what we have not done? May Allah preserve us. let's not forget our izzah at all times when you do something to people, even with Muslims who do not understand the kind of Islam that you understand. Because you carry an identity that you must represent properly. If you misrepresent it, the evil will come to you and it will spread to the rest of the Muslims. At all times, when you dress, when you talk to people, when you, everything you do, you must, your own must be different. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam climbed upon Talha so that the people would see that he's not dead, he's still alive. And he had been wounded seriously because it was said that Talha was standing and the Prophet was on the ground. So when an arrow was shot in the direction of the Prophet, he parried it with his hands. The ulama say he had over 80 places of wound on his body, Talha. 80. In fact, his small finger went off. An arrow was shot to the Prophet ﷺ, so he placed his hand, the arrow cut off his foot. That's why he had 9 fingers. On the day of Uhud, Talha had 9 fingers. So when he took bayah from Uthman ibn Affan, or was it Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the people were accusing him that the one who took bayah from him first was a man with 9 incomplete fingers. One of the companions saying, which finger are you saying is incomplete? You know how he lost that finger? Come and hear story today. You know, sometimes when you say some things, you cause some, you hear more than you think you want to hear. Like the one who went to ask Ibn Omar about Uthman ibn Affan. You ask him about Uthman ibn Affan? That he didn't go for Badr. And he was not in Bayatul Ridwan and all of that. Come, let me sit you down. He started to tell him the stories of all of this. So Talha lost his finger from that. On that day, he had more than 80 places, wounds on all his body. More than 80. Bin Uwasamani. That's what the ulama said. So he did that, he went down so that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam could come above him to climb on the rock. So he did alayhi salatu wasalam. قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول زبير بن عوان said that day I heard the prophet saying أوجب طلحة طلحة has made it obligatory وفي رواية أوجب طلحة دخوله الجنة طلحة has made it obligatory that he should enter الجنة. You see people are still begging to enter الجنة. Some people make it such that look Allah, you must put me in this الجنة. Aujaba Talha. Talha has made al-Jannah legal, obligatory for himself. Aujabahu Talha. It is work. Sadaquma ahadullah alayhi. So the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Aujaba Talha. Talha has made it obligatory. Don't forget, mahal shahid in this hadith is what? Dir. The Prophet was wearing two dir, dir'an, ko? And that's hadith. But there are other fawaid connected. It's also saying, the Prophet said, Allah said, wakhudu hizrakum. Be careful. So it is part of making hizrakum that he wore those dir. And this shows the fadail of these two companions, Zubair ibn Awam and Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Because some of the people dislike these two companions. Some of the people like the Shia. They dislike these two companions. To dislike any companion is evil itself. Not only that. To speak about recently, Malam Ahmad Dumi, Dr. Ahmad Dumi, the son of Sheikh Mahmoud Abu Bakr Gumi, was talking about Ma'u Zamzam. There was a discussion that the BBC has a report that Zamzam, Ma'u Zamzam has some elements that are dangerous, hazardous to human health. BBC. So Zamzam is hazardous. So that Muslims all, they should not bring it to Britain. BBC was saying that in a documentary. So one of the brothers, mashallah, he did very good job. Jibril, a Jibril doctor. He used to say some deviant statements too, but here he was very good. he went to make a correspondence with that BBC correspondent that did the documentary, and the man had to apologize for some things that he said in the report. So there's a professor Abdulaziz or something, Muhyiddin, he's in Malaysia. He's a professor of, I think, biochemistry or something, Allahu Alam. So he said they should send samples of the water to him. He will test it. That he's going to instruct them how they will collect the samples and all of that. So there was this discussion on Mount Zamzam. Ahmad Gumi came and said that, why are they bothering themselves about Mount Zamzam? Is Mount Zamzam different from any other water on the surface of the earth? So one of our brothers here, Abul Abbas Bumbaz, made a statement. And some people started to attack Bumbaz for that statement. But that statement, any person who will not make that kind of a statement or have it in mind has a problem in his iman. He said, this man, something is wrong with him. And his likes should not be given any attention. Yes, people like Bumi should not be given attention. Ahmad Bumi. He made those comments. So when those people were responding to Bumbaz's comment that it was harsh against Ahmad Bumi and all that, I said these people don't know how they should feel about companions. So Bumbaz now raised the issue that he did make some statements about the Prophet's companions, the one he made last. The same forum. How soon people forget. And the man has not come in the public to renounce what he said earlier. So it is not possible to find someone who loves the companions ready to stomach the kind of statements that Gumi made. He said he's making idiot qiyas. The qiyas is not well thought out. He said because Umar Radiallahu Anhu said to Al-Hajar Al-Aswad that you are just a stone. Were it not that I saw the Prophet kissing you, I would not have kissed you. Okay, show us the same thing for Zamzam. About Zamzam, the Prophet said there is food and drink in it. The hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal, he was in the masjid for days, about 2 or 3 weeks or thereabouts. He said, what were you eating? He said, I was drinking Zamzam. He said, how do you eat? He said, he said, oh, Allah has put in it food and drink. Allah, is there any water that Allah put food and drink inside in the world? That there is food and drink inside that water? Other than Ma'u Zamzam. Is there any water in the world that the Prophet said she found the kulli shay? Ma'u Zamzam lima shuriba lahu. Let Zamzam cure whatever for which it is taken. Did he say that for any other water? It is different. Ma'u Zamzam is different from any other water. The nafsul hadith. So he is saying, why people say? So people like this, to dislike them is from Iman, my brother. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, before he starts saying it is extremism, he said in Aqidah al-Tahawiyah, he says, وَنُحِبُّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. We love the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَا نُفْرِتُ فِي حُبِّ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. But we will not go to the extremes. Like the Shia went to start saying that Ali was Allah, Ali was the Prophet, Ali was this, Ali was that. We will not do that. وَلَا نَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And we will not declare abstinence or war or aversion from any one of them. We will not say we don't want this one. Like the Nawafid, those who went in the side of Uthman ibn Affan saying that they dislike Ali ibn Abi Talib. So we will not do that. نَبْغُدُ مَنْ يَبْغِدُهُمْ. We hate those who hate them. مَنْ يَبْغِدُهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُهُمْ بِغَيْرِ الْخَيْرِ. He says, we hate those who hate them. وَيَذْكُرُهُمْ بِغَيْرِ الْخَيْرِ. And they mention them not in... When they mention them with negatives. We hate those people. Not just that they hate them, but they mention them negatively. How else do you want to mention companions negatively when you say democracy is better than 30 years of Khilafah? Not then say, oh, Ahmad Gumi wrote it this one. And when I said, no, what you are saying is wrong, he said, look, brother, you are taking rhetorics. Yes, I said to him that, look, the khilafa of Nubuwa, khilafa 30 years of khilafa of Rashida is 30 years of khilafa ala manhaj Nubuwa. Prophet said so. So to rubbish khilafa, 30 years of khilafa is to rubbish Nubuwa itself. He said, my brother, what you are saying is mere rhetorics. He's telling me that. There are documented statements, so it's not the same. I heard it on the phone. A brother called him and recorded it and said to him, Bumi, you said so. He said, yes. He said, the reason why I had to say something about that is that those people are Boko people. They don't. His response is not in line with his question, even when he said yes, that he said it. So if you mention companions with negative things, he said, was it not the companions who were struggling among themselves to become Amir and killing themselves? Bumi said that. He said it. Ahmad Bumi. So when you mention companions, I mention them with all this thing. We hate you. We dislike you. For whatever reason, everything you do, there's any negative thing, we mention it as from your deviation. And I tell you, my brothers, this one I've not made it. This is the first time I'm making this statement in public. Bumi, Ahmad Bumi, we have problems in Tawheed. I tell you, any person who abuses companions, who makes statements like this, if you tell him to explain Tawheed, you will see we have problem. I tell you, we have problem. If a person abusing companions, making statements like this, if you just ask him one simple question about Allah, he will, you will see that he has problems of Tawheed. I tell you this, he will have deviations in Tawheed. It's a matter of time. It's either he changes, or Allah will relieve the Muslims of his evil. It's really unprecedented. Somebody who has an absolute of Sunnah with all his father has done, his father is not known with anything except Sunnah. You came and start destroying the house your father built. Nas'alullah salamat wa afiyah. So those who hate companions, we hate them. وَلَا نَذْكُرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ We will not mention them except with خَيْر. وَحُبُّهُمْ دِينٌ Loving them is deen. وَإِيمَانٌ وَإِحْسَانٌ It's from Iman, it's from Ihsan. Imam al-Tahawi and Aqidat al-Tahawiyya. He said, وَبُغْدُهُمْ كُفْرٌ To hate them is kufr. وَنِفَاقٌ وَتُغْيَانٌ To hate companions. You're mentioning this because Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Zubair ibn Awam are hated by the Shia. You hate them, speak them of this good evil. So we will not just Talha and Ubaidillah and Zubair, all the companions, Nuhibbuhum, Wahubbuhum, Deenun, Wa Imanun, Wa Ihsan, Wa Bugduhum, Kufrun, Wa Tugyan, Wa Nifaq. The last hadith in this bab is the hadith of As-Sa'id ibn Yazid. He said, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana alayhi yawma Uhudin dir'an qad zahara baynahuma." It's just like the hadith of Zubair. So he mentioned one thing, zahara baynahuma, he wore them on one above the other. He wore one, he wore the second one above it. Zahara baynahuma. One was Zahir, the other was in the bottom. He wore this in the wall, the other one inside. We stop here, inshallah, today. I was thinking we'd read this last hadith, but we can read it in the next class. But it's also connected to the first hadith in the following bab. So we'll read that, and after that, we'll be talking about the Prophet's turban, alayhi salatu wasalam. How was it? Alayhi salatu wasalam. And what followed that is izar, lower garment. How was his izar? And then after that is mishyati rasul, how he used to walk. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Then from that is taqannu. You see, some brothers here have something like himar. That's called kina also. The Prophet used to make that. What are the evidences around that? We will discuss this point inshallah in subsequent classes. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. If there are a few questions you can, it really changes somebody's mood when someone speaks to against the companions. He is destroying his own deen. Where will he take it? How did he know Allah? How did he know Allah? How did he know Allah? How did he know the Prophet Muhammad? Did he see Prophet? Who told him there was Prophet Muhammad? It's not companion. So he says, I don't know the people scrambling for power, killing themselves. This is jahal and arrogance. Kibr. As-salallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fortunately, many idiots are following him. Pseudo-elite. Most of them too follow him because they think that he says what they like. When I was saying that he would make errors on Tawheed, his statement that we abuse the Western world, that their economy is based on riba, that the fact that their economic progresses, and Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba وَيُرِبِ السَّدَقَةِ, Allah will destroy riba and then he will allow charity to grow. He will nurture charity. But where are they growing? Why is their own economy growing? Is he talking to us? He said, we are saying that the economy will not grow. We said, no, we didn't say that Allah said that. He said, but their economy is growing. The two statements are lies. The first is that the economy is not growing. The world witnessed a meltdown recently. So where is the growth he's talking about? That people now started saying that, look, let's go back to non-interest banking. So where is the growth he's talking about? That's a lie. So he lied doubly. He lied in reality, in his saying that the economy is growing. And then he's lying to say that Allah is lying. So that, did he not say, Yamhakullah riba? Why is the economy growing? So Allah didn't say it well, or what? That's why I'm saying, you will have problems in Tawheed. I say this. If you ask him, start explaining Tawheed, you see that you will have problems. Does he not have problems with that statement you made already? May Allah save him, make him change. If there is good in him for the Ummah, if there is no good in him for the Ummah, may Allah preserve the rest of us from his evil. If there are one or two questions we can take today, we take them, inshallah.
They are not for the issues that you're doing concerning the then the same thing happening to the group concerning a thing that one of Adam and the glory.
The hijab problem with Abdullah Ilori is the simplest problem that he has. It's the simplest problem that he has if you look at the rest of the problems that he had. I heard the audio. I wasn't told. I still have it in my car. He said that if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is in the world today, many things he brought and put into the religion, he will change it. Is there? I have it. I have not done then say, I have the audio. He said, so what are you saying? There are many things the Prophet said. So when it's happening, hijab. Hijab is secondary in these matters. You see, in fitna, may Allah save us from having children who will not serve him. Ajalna lil muttaqina imama. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina. It's very important. Please make this dua always. If you are good, what will happen to your children? Even when this one, his own father was not known with pure sunnah. His own father had deviations on Ash'ariyah. He has his books. And he has those deviations clear and very manifest in them. But that's even the one that his father has Ash'ariyah and other deviations. What about the one whose father is not known except with sunnah? Al-Musiba to Akbar, or Al-Musiba to Kubra. You have not asked your question, you are still explaining to us.
No, I'm not asking you. You are already
quoted my. You are commenting. I had buttressed your comment. Okay.
But my question is now that there are some brothers in my. They do go all about.
Just simple, ask them for the evidence for going about with the sword. Yes, the Arabs emerged from Qasim down to areas of Yemen. You see people, everybody carrying his weapons. So, but to say in Sunnah that it's a Sunnah to carry about weapons and daggers and all of that, you need to prove that. You need to bring a hadith. Al-Isnadu min ad-din ko, walawla al-Isnadu laqala man sha'a man sha'a. You bring the Isnad and so he will accept it. He will take it too as religion. And what they are taking around is cutlass, not sword. Maybe they don't know the meaning of cutlass. Because the Yoruba man will say that a faith is ada, ko. But they even have a word, Ida. Cool? They have a word, Ida. So why don't they use an Ida? All those things are not established. A lot of deviations. Jafar.
So,
there is no hadith to call anybody Shaheed.
I don't
know whether I heard that the Quran is not going to be Shaheed. Hukman. Shaheed Hukman. There is a difference between the two. Shaheed al-Asl or Shaheed al-Hukm. This, there are many people misrepresented. There is Shaheed al-Hukm. The ruling is the ruling of the Shaheed, but it's not a Shaheed, but al-Asl. The Shaheed, this word Shaheed is for those who died on the battlefield. This is Shaheed al-Asl. A legal war between Muslims and non-Muslims. Underline it, legal war. A jihad that's called out by an Amir. The Amir announces, let's go on jihad with all its conditions and all of that. We're fighting behind an established government of Islam. Not a government that you set up by yourself. It's a government of Islam that says, go and fight. And that is the government that if you have ganima, that is the government that will distribute the ganima. Not the ganima of alcohol. You understand? It's a legally established jihad by a Muslim or an Islamic government. So somebody dies on that battlefield. This is supposed to be, this is supposed to be a shaheed. In the absolute of that word, shaheed. Someone who testifies for his religion. So he testifies so much that he even testified with his life to show that he is upon this religion. When he said, Allahu a'lamu bima yuklamu fi sabilihi. Allah alone knows best who is actually killed for his sake. So the one that dies on the battlefield, can you say that he died for the sake of Allah? He's fighting for the cause of Allah. So when he died, is he dying for the sake of Allah? Did he fight for the sake of Allah? Can you say that? Why? Because we don't know his heart. Do you understand? So that your hope, you can't use it to ascribe, to make an ascription. So when you say we hope that he will be a shaheed, but it's not saying he's a shaheed, there are two different things. That your hope is not sufficient for an ascription. And that's why they still say, وَنَرْجُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَنَرْجُ لَهُمْ كَذَا وَنَرْجُ لَهُمْ We hope that Allah will do so something. But they don't say shaheed, sheikh shaheed, like a title, nah, to anybody. Or you say he's a shaheed, no. You say we hope, and your hope may be wrong. Yes, it's just Roger. You hope that he is. But these ones that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Bakr Shaheed, don't forget, ma yantiku anil hawa. So it is Allah that gave him the wahi that Abu Bakr, Umar Shaheed, Uthman Shaheed, Ali Shaheed, Uthman, Talha Shaheed, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam Shaheed. Do you understand? So that's why we can't say, Shaykh so is Shaheed. This is the asl of the ruling. Yes, Al-Maktun Shaheed, the one who, alayhi salatu wasalam says, the one who dies of a stomach-related illness is a Shaheed. Yes, Hukman, the one upon whom a house falls upon is a Shaheed, Hukman. The ulama explained, if you read Ar-Ruh, Al-Imam ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he says his explanation. There's a Shaheed asl, and the Shaheed of Hukum. The woman dies when she's giving birth to a baby. She has the ruling. So if you can't say, for even the one who died on the battlefield, you can't say he's Shaheed, why can you say he or she is a Shaheed for the one who is even borrowing the title of a Shaheed in your hope? Do you understand? We hope, and even, I mean, for those ones that are only Shuhada Hukman, do you understand? It's they are borrowing the ruling. Those who actually died in it, you can't ascribe the name Shaheed to them. Those who are borrowing the ruling, are they the ones you will ascribe? Do they understand? So you can't ascribe them. You say, we hope that. And you say, start saying that, and the Prophet has said anybody who dies in this condition is a Shaheed. So then start saying that. But to say so and so is Shaheed, Allahu a'lamu bima yuklamu fi sabilihi. Except there's a text. So today, don't say anybody is any Shaheed. You can say that you hope that you have gained Shahada, but you don't say so and so is Shaheed. There are two differences. Imam Bukhari said we should not be saying that. Many scholars came after him and said that. We'll stop here, inshallah, so that we can perform our salawat maghrib in our various places. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك